Hallelujah. So we're going to look at the word of the Lord this morning. And I can assure you, when I have to bring a word to you, I stand in fear and trembling. I'm going before God and I say, God, if you don't give me a word that is alive and for the girls real today, I'm going to die. So I am not standing here in my own strength, but I am standing here as a testimony that I know that God has a word for you today. So buckle up your seatbelts and let's go. We're going to take the word. All of you take your Bibles. I want to encourage you to continue bringing your Bibles, okay? During group time, leaders also today, there's a lot of scriptures on the discussions. So during group time, I want you to open your Bibles, okay, and look up those scriptures. My title for the message this morning is, My God Shall Supply. Anybody want to hear this message? My God shall supply. So the Lord started speaking to me out of the following scripture that's really familiar to most of you. Philippians 4:19 says, My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I tell you what, this verse is so loaded. We can stay for hours on just that. But the first thing that struck me, I've read this, I've quoted this. For many years of my life, and I read it again, and the Spirit of the Lord said to me, according to what? And I said, according to your riches. And the Spirit of the Lord said, according to what? And I said, according to your riches. And it was like light came into my heart. I say, wow, thank you, Lord, that you do not supply my need according to what I deserve. You are not supplying my need according to my works, because I mess up. You are not supplying my need according to my family members or how many times I go to church or what I do or what I don't do. We go there as human beings. We measure ourselves all the time. And this scripture says, God says he supplies all our need according to him. And not according to me. Now, this is a promise. Every promise has something that you have to put in the natural in order to get out of it the supernatural. We get that, right? With the word of the Lord, with the gospel, with this Christian life and living, it is always God expecting of us to put in the natural, and he responds with the supernatural. So you cannot just sit there and quote the verse and quote the verse and quote the verse and believe the verse and believe the verse. Yes, that's a great place to start, but there's more to it than this. So let us look at it. Paul is writing here and he says, my God. He starts out with my God. Do you know where Paul is at the time that he's writing this verse, the scripture? Paul is in prison. Paul has been through a lot. Paul has written 7 books in the New Testament, 6 more. Some people dispute whether he did or not. We've studied Galatians. We've studied the writings of Paul in this church for a long time. But here Paul is saying to them, listen, my God, the God that has brought me out of darkness when I couldn't see. The God that was with me when I was shipwrecked. The God that was with me when I was in chains. The God that was with me even before I had a revelation of Jesus Christ and went around killing Christians. He is saying, listen, people, I have a testimony. This is my God. What an example that this man is sitting writing this in prison. You know, many of us would say, you're in prison, you're in bondage, you have sickness in your body, you have stuff going on that's bad in your family. You better not say anything. You just sort out your life first before you talk about the goodness of God. What right do you have to say anything when you're going through struggles and temptations? It's not true. That's a lie from the pit of hell. All of us are in Christ, anytime, whatever your situation is, can say, my God. So how about your God? I have experienced God in my life in so many multiple ways that I can tell you God is faithful. He is faithful. Even when we are not faithful, when we are faithless, the Bible says God remained faithful again. Because it's not according to me, but it's according to His riches. Okay, let's grab a hold of this is according to His riches. So this is what Paul is saying. He says, and then he says, shall supply. Shall supply. The word there, I looked up the word. I'm not a scholar in Greek and Hebrew, but there are books that tell us these things. I looked it up, and this word says, supply means to make full, to complete, but I love this word, to cram. You know what cram means? It's just when God supplies, He just crams it. There's no room. When God opens up the windows of heaven, there is no room in your life to contain everything that God is given. This scripture is saying, my God shall cram it into your life. He will make full that what is empty. He will make whole that which is broken. He will satisfy. He will finish. He will perfect. Isn't that awesome? And then it says, all your need and my need. Did you notice the Bible doesn't say needs? He does not say needs in this instance. What that refers to, what that tells us, is that yes, you may experience needs, what you think are needs in different areas of your life, but when God supplies, He doesn't supply to individual needs. Because when He comes in His fullness and His glory, according to His riches that we're going to say, He comes with His very presence, and with His very presence in the weakness of your life, He embodies everything. When God supplies, it covers everything. One touch from the Lord can cover all the needs, what you may experience as needs in your life. In God's book and God's nature, He shall supply all your need. And we're going to see how He does that. Because when He moves in a situation, He comes with everything He is into the situation, and there's an answer to everything. He will supply all our need. Listen, Romans 3:23, you know the scripture that says, all have sinned. Listen, we had something before the fall that we lost. You know that. That is why there's a hole in your heart. You were created to have perfect unity, fellowship, and communion with the Father. Sin came in the picture and separation came. When that separation came, what happened is your spirit that testifies with the Spirit of God that you're His child, your spirit that becomes one with the Spirit of God, that spirit died inside of you. And you are now dead to the things of the Spirit. There's now separation. The glass is no longer full. There's a little bit in the bottom and a big old emptiness in the rest of it. We have all sinned, and the Bible says we fall short. So take a deep breath. We all are in the same boat. We all fall short. So we don't even have to be pretending that we're perfect. Hallelujah, right? We all fall short of the glory of God. We have lost something. And the Bible says in Psalm 103 that what is a man? His life is like the grass, like flowers. It's alive one day, and the next day it dies, and the wind blows it away, and nobody remembers it anymore. And the Bible says, who are we, O God, that You are mindful of us? The Bible says we cannot, by worrying, add one inch to our height. We are pretty hopeless without God. We have sinned. We fall short, and we have need, okay? Now listen to this. When I say this, He shall supply all your need, I'm not talking about speaking magical words, abracadabra, saying the right scriptures, because we can focus on one scripture, but I want to show you today that we need to look at the whole counsel of God when we look at the scriptures. We need to let scripture interpret scripture for us, okay? So it's not magical that you believe God for something, you ask God for something, and if He doesn't give it to you exactly the same way you expect it, then there must be something wrong. Yeah, there are instances in the Bible and even in this verse that we're going to look at. But many times, God may not give you exactly the answer that you want, because our first thing that we want out, right? Anybody? You're in a tough situation. You want out. You want things to change. You want your circumstances to change. And sometimes God says, for some reason that God is worthy of knowing, that we do not understand everything, God sometimes does not change the circumstance. He doesn't give you the answer that you thought you were going to get. Instead, He gives you the grace to walk through it. There are valleys in life. Sometimes you walk through the shadow of death. And sometimes things don't go your way. You do not get the answers the way you want them and the way you think. And even your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ tell you it should be happening. But let me tell you what, when you walk in faith, that means there's something you're believing for that you're not seeing. And you're not seeing, and you're not seeing, and you keep walking, and you keep walking, and you keep staying in faith. You, no matter whether you get the answer. In Hebrews, the Bible talks about the heroes of faith. Listen to me. That never saw what they believed for. The patriarchs never saw Christ, but they believed. And the Bible says the world is not worthy of them. We need to understand that God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. And sometimes God says, no, child, I'm not taking this thorn away, but my grace is sufficient for you to walk it out. Then you just have to keep walking through the valley, keep walking through the valley until you find out of the darkness in the far distance, you see a light and you keep walking. And that light is the promise and the hope and the faith in what you have. You cannot give up. You have to keep walking, walking it out. And that is many times how God supplies. So let's continue. According to, I told you the scripture says here, according to, how does God supply? What's God's measure? What is it? Okay, there is a way, there is a way, there is a measurement God uses when He supply in your need and in my need and the void in the lives of humankind. How much? Okay, let's look at that. The Bible says according to His riches. Now, how many of you can comprehend the riches of God? How many of you can comprehend? God created everything that is created. God owns everything. God has the moon set in place. God is with His mighty hands holding the waters back from not overflowing the earth. God has put the galaxies in place. He placed hair on your head. He let the hair grow in the right places until you turn 50. Some of you know what I mean. I mean, how does God do this with all these millions and billions of people and let our hair all grow exactly where they need to be growing? And when one falls out, another one comes out until you turn a certain age. But that's what sin did. It was never God's plan for us to lose our hair or to get old. He created us with eternity in our hearts to live forever. So, okay, let's back the spaghetti up. His riches, His wealth, and His power. But that's not all. It says in glory. What does that mean? According to His riches in glory. Listen, it is easy for us to look at that scripture and say, okay, God supplies according to His riches all the stuff that He has and owns in glory, thinking glory is there in heaven. And when we are good enough, God just dishes out a little thing here and a little thing there. That's not what glory means. We have a definition here that we go by. Glory means the manifest goodness of God. Now, what this means in this scripture, according to His riches in glory, glory meaning His manifest goodness. When you manifest, it becomes something that is visible, right? You cannot manifest yourself in our midst when you're at home, Right? You manifest yourself to us here by coming into our presence. So glory really presupposes the presence of God. Because when God shows up, His goodness is there. It's a manifest goodness of God. And it manifests when He shows up in His very presence. Again, a word study will show you the word glory meaning very apparent or to show. That means God's very presence. So He supply in our need according to the wealth of His riches through His very presence manifesting itself in our need and in our life. Isn't that powerful? Listen, when God walks into a situation, what comes into the situation? Everything, right? Power, all the answers. Everything enters into the situation. Hey, what about you? How about you? Let's just back off a little bit. What enters into a situation when you enter into it, woman of God? Write that one down and go think about that at home. And then it says, by Christ Jesus. Listen, to be included in this promise, it says, by Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something to remember when you read scripture. Every time you see the word Christ, we know Jesus had died and He's the Messiah, but when the word Christ is used, it refers to the cross, the crucified one. So it pertains to the work that Christ has done on the cross, the blood that was shed on the cross. So here it says, again, let's see, my God, right? Everybody say, my God shall supply all my need. According to His riches in glory, His manifest presence, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and you and I coming under that blood. So as long as you are in Christ and in Christ Jesus, so it's not something that you casually just take upon yourself and move on. So that scripture is a powerhouse. Then the Lord wanted me to share with you some things in life that stop the supply. So we're going to looking at this verse, at some supply stoppers, okay? Because we want to know what those things are so we can get rid of them. And then we're going to look at a few things, according to God's word, that is the remedy to those supply stoppers, okay? And this whole message, I believe, it's because God has so much. He can hardly stand it. He wants to give it away. He wants to supply. And He has a message for us and saying to us, okay, this is what is happening. You may be quoting this scripture, but you don't see things happening in your life the way that you feel the power of God should be manifesting itself. The glory of God should be manifested in your life. Let's look at the whole counsel of God, at scripture, interpret scripture, and see what are some of the supply stoppers. Because I'm telling you what, I want to get rid of every supply stopper. I don't want any supply stopper between me and the supply of God in my life. How about you? Okay, here's number one. Number one is, supply stopper is when you're not serious with God and He's not number one. Not serious with God, and He's not number one. I have a son that recently went off to college. That's a trial for any parent in a secular college. It's like, oh God, if I knew what I know now, I would never have let him go. I would have sent him to Oral Roberts University or somewhere. But you know, we have to step in faith and believe God. And he's been there for several months now, and we had a conversation. He comes home regularly, and the other day he was home, and we sat down, and we just talked. And I said to him, you know, he's now learning some things that he would not listen to. You know, that doesn't make sense until he actually experiences it. You know how that goes. So we talked about it, and I'm thinking, how do I address, you know, God and church? And son, are you going to church? And how are you spiritually without, you know, letting him, you know, just get irritated with me? Because my kids are just like your kids, you know. They're just really normal in that sense. So I said to him, we talked about just God and on campus and all that. And I said to him, have you noticed how easy it is to just slip away from God? You don't have to do much. Easy. It's just easy. You just kind of go about your ways. You do things the way you always want to do them, and you hang out with people that just happen to come your way, and you're not thinking, and before you know it, you think, oh, I should be doing this, or I should be doing this. And it boggled my mind that he answered me to that, and he says, yes, Mom, I have noticed. And I knew it came from his heart. And I'm saying, God, how easy. Listen, it's easy. It's easy for you. It's easy for me. You stay home from girlfriends one day. The next Thursday you think, okay, when the weather gets warmer, I'll come back. You know, you get upset and you yell and scream and have a fit and think, oh, I'll just repent later. You know, it's just easy to slip into a state of being not serious with God. When you are not serious with God and when God is number one, you are cutting off the supply of his riches and his glory that is through the blood of Jesus available to us. God is not a God that's happy with a fling, a one-night stand, or a one-day-a-week stand, a Sunday stand, Wednesday night stand. God's not happy with that. That's not his will. He wants us to be serious, like Paul. Paul got serious with God. He experienced God's supply. But you know, Paul was a pretty educated man. He was a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee. He lived in Tarsus, very wealthier and very good education. And he made his way up in the ranks in the temple. And he was very well respected. He had so many power, he could kill people. Okay? And he was a Roman citizen. And Paul comes to a point, he says, you know, all of that is just trash. It's just trash. Because Paul made God number one in his life. So let's look at that. He says, one thing I do. Now listen, when I look at somebody like Paul, and he says to me, one thing I do, I'm all ears. Because he has had an amazing life and walk and miracles in his life like few others. He says, I forget the things that are behind me and I press towards the goal and the prize that is in Jesus Christ. You have one goal in mind. You focus. Listen, when you focus, have you noticed you lose some of the picture? Photographers in here, is that true? When you want to focus in on something, I could have a picture of all eight of you, and then I will focus in on somebody, I'm losing the others. That's how it goes when you pick God as being number one. Is you decide what you focus on, and you be ready to let go of those things that you don't really need anyway, that are stoppers and blockers of the supply of God. Many people in the world, we don't have time to go into Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Stephen, that got killed. And for his belief, focused. God is number one. In the Old Testament, we go to the scripture about the promised land. God warns the people in Deuteronomy 4:9. He says, take heed of yourself. I want to tell my son when he goes off to college, son, take heed of yourself. Can you feel the mother heart when I say that? Those of you are mothers, can you feel it? If your kids are little, you're going to feel it later on. I want to say, son, please take heed. Remember God. Don't forget. It's with that heart that God is speaking to the people. He says to them, take heed of yourself. Diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. Deuteronomy 4:23. Take heed, lest you forget. Over and over and over, God says this to them. And you make yourself carved images. And then he says, 4:24, for the Lord God is a consuming fire. He's jealous. Listen, for you to be in Christ Jesus and under the supply according to his riches, God is jealous. He needs to be number one. Okay? Because what does the Bible say? it says, it goes on in Deuteronomy and it says, if you forget, you will lose your land, you will be destroyed, and you will be scattered. That's the bottom line, okay? So, the Bible says, hold it in your heart, teach it to your children, talk about it when you go around, bind it around your body, write it down on the post of your house, lest you forget. Now listen, point number two is another stopper of God's supply. If you do number one, if God is really number one in your life, then number two, you will go all the way. So a stopper is not going all the way with God. You can sometimes, you could choose him, but you stop too soon. You give up. That talks about endurance. Listen to this scripture in the New Testament here. Mark 4:17. Jesus is explaining this parable and he says, they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when what comes? And you can name it in your life, whatever it is, arises for the world's sake, immediately they stumble. Listen, you have to go all the way with God. You have to go. It's a lifetime thing. It is not something that you try. Have you talked to anybody? It breaks my heart when I hear somebody say, oh, I've tried that. I've tried church. I've tried God. Listen, that's the problem. The Bible does not invite you to try God. Gospel is not a gospel of test drive it, see if it works for you, and you get your money back after 30 days or something like that. But we live in that kind of a society. We try something. If it doesn't work, it's no good. And if you do that with God and you don't endure and you are not ready and do what it takes to get rooted and grounded so that you can go the distance, so then trials and tribulations come, you have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you have the stamina to do that. You have Christ living inside of you, so you will not give up. So that is the way. Are you hearing me? That is the way to get your need met and supplied by God, who is rich. He is filthy rich. He's the, I've got words for it. He's just rich. Everything is his. And then his glory, his very presence comes into the picture. And then the blood of Jesus on top of that. Hey, you cannot top that. That's a pretty good situation. But it's not for you to try out for a while and then don't go all the way. And as soon as there's an opportunity to blend in, you blend in. As soon as there's an opportunity, you know, we do the computer, we log on and we log off. So we want to do that with God. Okay, God, I'm ready for you. Now I'm going to log on. And when it gets a little, you know, God, just leave that alone. I like that part. We just push a button and log off and walk away. God is not a machine. He wants all your heart and all your life. He hates lukewarmness. So why do we think we can come in under the supply of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus when we are lukewarm? And then to add insult upon injury, say, didn't work. How, where did we get that gospel? Where do we see that in scripture? God wants to empower you and live through you and forgive you and cleanse you and heal you through the blood of Jesus Christ, so you can get to know him and the power that is in you then to go all the way in order for you to experience his supply according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, right? Don't try God. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. Number three, and this is a brief one, the third supply stopper is for many people, you've never had a role model. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, Paul says to the people, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And you know, it is just true. Some of us have grown up without role models. We've never seen it work. Let me tell you about something that happened in the first time visitors lounge. I don't know if she's here, if she will hear my voice. I'm not going to tell you her name, but there's a lady that came to the first time visitors lounge on Sunday. And as a young lady, a young woman, she's not married. I asked her because I thought she was married by the comment she made. She was just like lit up. She said, "This was so good." She said, I've never believed this thing about submission. See, I've never believed it because I really have never seen it work. And I thought, wow. So I listened and she said, it's amazing that it works for them. It actually works for them. So Pastor Jim and Deborah, as they were preaching and sharing, she was sitting in awe. Looking at them being married for 30 some years, still in love, prospering, and that according to the scripture, with the submission and love and all sacrifice and all of that. And it was a revelation. She actually said to me, you know what? My whole mind is changed now. These were her words. She said, my mind is changed. Why? She heard the truth and she saw an example. Right? So if you've never had it modeled to you, be in church. Come here and look at the monuments in this house of God's goodness and His glory. And if you are a believer that says, oh, I don't know, I've experienced all of that. So people are looking at you. What do they see? You need to be in the house, not always just to get, but to be the monument, to be the one that others can look at. We live near Hollywood. People want to look. People are looking, you know. People are tired of people talking. They say, just show it to me sometimes. You know, you just have to see it. And it's biblical because Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Can you really say that? If you can't, God wants you to get to that point that you can truly tell somebody, hey, come with me. Just whatever you see me do, do. Wow. That's God's will for the body, okay? Number four, a supply stopper is our appetite for sin. The people on the planet today, especially living in prospering countries such as the United States, and particularly California, and in particular, Southern California. If you have not been to other countries and other places, let me tell you what, life is not like this in other places. This is a place that we are prospering. This is a place that stuff's happening. And people want to live here for various reasons. But I'm telling you, we live in a time and in an age and in a society that feeds your appetite for sin. Some of us, in some area of our life, has such well-developed taste buds for sin that we think nothing else is going to satisfy. But I'm telling you, that is something that you eat. The sin, it tastes so good. And when it gets to your stomach, it starts turning. It starts hurting. It starts making the body sick. And God says, our appetite for sin need to change. How? One word. Die. Who said that? Somebody say that over there. One word for the appetite for sin. Die. Death. Not easy. It's a step of obedience. Look at what the scripture says here. Where are we? Appetite for sin. Romans 6:7. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Okay, what is the Bible talking about? Likewise, you also reckon yourselves. I looked at that word reckon. It means think. Think of yourself as dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Okay, it says don't let sin reign in your body and that you should obey the lust. How do we know what's sin? Listen, when you have made the decision for Christ, when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you may be sitting here, so don't ask me what is sin. You already know. Everybody in this room that's in any kind of sin, I want to go as far as to say, you know exactly what you're doing. You know, because the Spirit of God inside of you is testifying against that thing. And God is saying, cut it off, die to it, get rid of it. Otherwise, it stops the supply of what God has for you according to his riches and his presence in your life, right? And the Bible says, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ in me. So die to sin. We're going to close with a few remedies. Okay, this is a pretty hopeless situation, you know. We say, okay, God is not number one. And I'm not ready to go all the way. And I've never seen it modeled to me. And, you know, I'm kind of bound up in sin. I don't know how to stop doing these things that I shouldn't be doing. Here are some remedies. The remedies for this is all located in Ephesians 1. We're going to go to Ephesians 1 and close with that. Listen to this. How do I really get a hold of this promise? What is the remedy for these showstoppers, these supply stoppers? Number one, know and believe what the Bible says about who God is. If you do not know or believe what the Bible says about who God is, how can you trust him? How can you love him? How can you make him number one? How can you go all the way? People have let you down. So you just figure God's going to do the same. It's because you do not know the nature, the attributes, and the character of God. This we find in Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is what Paul is praying for the people. May you come to an understanding, a spirit of revelation about who God really is. Because if you do, you would want to be with him. If you really do, if you really have a grip and an understanding about the scope of God, the goodness of God, the wealth of God, the riches of God, the glory of God, and his intentions towards you, you will fall at his feet and say, Lord, I'm yours. Everything is yours. But we do not know God. So Paul is praying this for the people. And how do you get to know God? By listening, by coming, by studying the word, by not having a fling, a one-day fling, but have a constant, sold-out, devoted, in-love life with our God through Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Okay? So our time clock is moving me on. Okay, so we have to take that responsibility. The Bible says, also in Philippians, it says, work out your own salvation in 2 verse 12. It is my responsibility to get to know this God and see what the Bible says about him and grab it and believe it. It is true. Okay? Because you know what? If you do, and you start living according to those principles, you'll save yourself money. You'll save yourself time. You save yourself a lot of heartache and trouble. The other day we were in a situation as a family, and I don't have time to tell the whole story. We were going to go somewhere. We had reservations and everything. And something happened when we were about to embark on our journey. And things were just out of order in my family. It was out of unity. And I just didn't know what was going on, but something inside of me, I know one principle that I found to be true. When there's no peace, wait, don't push things. You know, timing is everything. And just that one thing that I know to be true about God, that God has taught me is, okay, something is out of whack here. Something is out of balance. Back off. And I said, you know what? We're not going. I just made the call with the kids, and I said, we're not going. But, Mom, no, I had no peace for no reason. And we came home, and we checked and tried to change our reservations because now we're wasting all this money. I don't care about money. If there's no peace, I don't move. Because when I do move against peace, it will cost me a whole lot more. So you know what happened? We got home, we went online and see if we can change the reservation. Oh no, but the reservation wasn't for tonight. It's only in 2 weeks' time. And I'm thinking, okay, either we made a mistake and God wouldn't let us go, or we couldn't get ourselves together and God in His grace changed our reservation. I don't know which one of the two. But I said, wow, God, You work. You are just right. You are just true. Thank You. Because had we gone, it would have cost us three times because we had no reservation. Don't move if you don't have peace. Okay, number two, get to know my own potential and act on it. You are stronger than what you think you are. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you will not move and flow in the supply of God. You sit there and you say to yourself and your friends and everybody else, this is just the way it is in my life. This is just the way things go in my family. Oh, I've never really done that, or I've never really believed it like that, or it's okay, I'm hurting, but I've sinned so much in my life, this is probably what I deserve. And my mom said, my grandma was like that, and I'm like her, so, you know, this is what you get. All those kind of things are just stopping the supply of God in your life. Because that's not what God says about you. Let's go on to the next verse in Ephesians 1 and see what the Bible says in verse 18. Let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling, God calling, what are the riches of the glory. Now look at it again. I don't want you ever to look at those words the same again. Riches of His glory. Get the picture? The wealth of His very manifest presence and goodness. So that you will understand the riches of the glory of His inheritance where? Who are the saints? You. So you have to come to a place where you understand the riches of God's glory according to His call and plan that works in you as a believer. When you come in the blood of Jesus Christ, when you become a believer and a Christian and sold out for God, you no longer are the same as those who are not in Christ. You are now peculiar, so don't try to be different. You already are pretty peculiar, you know? Just be yourself and you'll be pretty peculiar by yourself. So you're peculiar because God has washed you, has prepared you, has a plan for you, and you need to figure out what this is by reading it in the Word. Number three, get to know the power of God in you by using the authority. Let's read the rest of Ephesians 1 in that scripture, and that is, we're going to close with that. 19, and what is the exceeding greatness that you will come to the knowledge and understanding of this, right? The previous scripture says, what is the exceeding greatness of what? Are you with me in verse 19? The exceeding greatness of what? His power toward who? Us who believe according to what? The working of whose power? His power, which He worked in Christ. I told you, Christ crucified. When He raised Him from the dead, seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head of all things to the... Ooh, who's the church? Us! Let's give the Lord a praise. This is us. This is us. In the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Romans 8:11 says, if the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. And you will work in the manifest goodness and the power and the presence of God. Do you see how these three principles, know God, know who you are, and know His power in you, are eradicating those supply stoppers in your life so that I am now positioned to receive that which I believe in the scripture that says, my God shall supply all my need, no respecter of person, according to what measure? His riches, where? In glory, his manifest goodness, by who? Christ Jesus and the shed blood that was shed to pay the price, to make a way for you and for me, so that we can live in this amazing abundance. And this word is for you, okay? So, did you receive anything from the Lord this morning?